Test, test.
I know it's on your package, that's what I mean, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, okay, let's get started. Okay, we're calling this meeting to order at 5:30, June 6th. Let's get our roll call going. Peter Gaffer is excused, he notified us at last meeting he would not be here. Commissioner Green?
Here.
Commissioner Conklin?
Here.
Myself, here. Commissioner Budge?
Here.
And new Commissioner Sky, welcome, John, to the DRB.
Here, thank you.
Commissioner Crowe also indicated he would not be at tonight's meeting, and our liaison is here, Mr. Davis. Okay. We'd like to inform all applicants that all items on the DRB agenda will require a building permit or a sign permit, and that design review board approval does not necessarily reflect the views and policies of SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Office, which controls decisions impacting tax status of designated contributing historic properties. Please review SHPO's policies, and if necessary, contact them directly before making any exterior changes to your property. Robert, do we have anyone signed up for call to the public?
We do not.
Okay, was there anyone here of this full room that wanted to speak to an issue not on tonight's agenda? Okay, doesn't look like it. Then let's move on to our first application. This is DRB application 18-33. It's in the Historic District, contributing property number 132, it's 21 Tembe Avenue. And this application is seeking approval to renovate a miner's cabin. This will include repair of the foundation, exterior siding, new metal roof, repair of existing doors and windows, installation of electric and plumbing, and in addition of an 84-square-foot vestibule, full bath, and storage area onto existing structure. And the applicant is Lisa Monkey, hopefully I didn't mispronounce the name. And if Lisa or someone else is here, if you could come up and identify yourself and your address, and just give us a brief overview of what you're doing on the property.
It's pronounced Lisa Mankey.
Mankey, thank you for the correction.
It's okay, you pronounce it the way it's supposed to be, but it's been Americanized.
Oops, that happens unfortunately.
So we purchased this property 2 years ago, and we first renovated the main structure on the property, and this second, the second property is a lot smaller. It's 12 by 35 approximately, and it's never had anything done to it at all. It doesn't have a bathroom in it, a restroom in it. It has no electrical plumbing or anything at all, so it's just a shell. And we are going in and putting a foundation under it and adding all of the necessary electrical and plumbing in order to make it into primarily a studio and a guest house. So it's going to have a small bedroom, a sort of a common room, and then a studio space. I've provided elevations and a floor plan here if you have any questions about anything specific to that.
Okay, well then let's open it up to questions from any DRB members for Ms. Mankey. Any commissioners have questions about the proposed remodeling? And everyone's clear, this is the structure to the right on the property, not the main house on the left.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the house.
Okay.
I too am very familiar with the house, and I know exactly what she's doing, and everything she does is really nice, and everything that is proposed here looks like it's good to me.
Okay.
So, I don't have any questions, just comments.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Sky. Commissioner Budge?
I have one. I know the new solar tube lights are kind of hip and cool. We've, of course, approved skylights, which we would normally not see in a pitched roof house, but we like to have those as much as possible towards the backside, so they're not necessarily on the street side. Most of yours, luckily, are on the backside, the north elevation. There's one, two, three there. I'm a little, it looks like you have one going into your bathroom on the new bump out. I don't know how important those are to you.
Actually, I'm thinking about not putting it in the bathroom there and having instead of having an 8-foot ceiling, having the full pitch
vaulted
of the roof, mm-hmm, and having a light up high. You can see there's some what looks like more of a vent,
right,
on that elevation there. And I'm thinking of actually having a window up higher.
I'm not the builder, but I will give you a little, we always like to give you just whatever we know and what I've done. But when you start making penetrations through your roof, especially bigger ones like, you know, 6-8 inches like that on a corrugated roof, then there's a water in problem because it runs down those little channels and it hits that upright, and you have to almost have to make a dam that runs like this. They become problematic. That's, I'm just giving you that.
Yeah, actually, I've spoken to Solitude,
yeah,
itself.
Right.
I've spoken to some of the technicians, and they said that they don't think that it'll be a problem at all.
I know. I'm just down the road. That's as an old.
Yeah, you got those little scallopy points in there, and
yeah,
it's so a great place.
I would love it if you could just leave the solar tubes off the front of it and just put them on the back. If that would be something that wouldn't upset you, that's all. Because they do get, they kind of stand out as a bubble on the front of every house, on the front of the house. And I have a version to the street view. The street view is, to me, is what is the most important.
Yeah.
And if any,
actually, this, the elevation of this is facing east, where there's another building.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not gonna see it from any place except maybe the, well, not, that's the second floor of the house next door. So they would probably be the only ones. But
yes,
screaming.
I know you're up way high up from the street view. But when I say street view, I don't mean the street right in front of you, but the streets all over town. I look at your house from across the way, I'll see it just like that, because everybody has different heights. So I'm sorry if I misspoke, but it's not a matter of the street view and standing in front of your house, but more about the street views from looking all over town. And if you're looking down on somebody, you're going to see the backside, but that's not my concern as much as something that you see. Anyway,
you're concerned with what it looks like from across the valley?
Well, not the whole valley, but enough that you can be high enough in Central School, or you can be somewhere else and see the stuff that's above. I don't know if it'll be there or not. It's just when I start approving things like this, and the next person that comes to me with solar tubes and wants to put them on the front of their house, then that's like, if I don't make some sort of comment, then I feel like I'm kind of not doing my duty. That's all. And so,
okay, the board approved them on the main house,
yeah,
on the same elevation.
Yeah, I didn't know when that was done. I wasn't here, I guess, at that point. But so anyway, that was just my comment.
Okay, and like I said, I'm not even sure it's going to be there anyway.
Yeah. So that's, I just want to know how important that one in the front of the house was to you.
Thank you, Commissioner Budge. Other commissioners, were there questions or comments for the applicant?
Yeah, I had a comment. First of all, thanks for restoring the house. It's a great house. I noticed that the original structure has the board and batten, but then you're going to transition the new addition into lap side of it. And so I was wondering
why I made that decision.
If you're opposed to just running all the siding consistent so that it all blends in.
Well, the main house had about three different kinds of siding on it.
Yes, ma'am.
And my understanding from what some of the commissioners had said in the past was that that's actually looking at sort of progression historically. With each time an addition is put onto a house, they generally used a different material. And so I was kind of trying to get at that idea, that this was a new addition and it had a different material.
And Ms. Mansky, just to clarify, that addition is going to be, if you're looking at the building, on the right side of the front of the building. And I remember when I was looking there today, it already looked like it had a different type of siding, like as if
it
had been an addition.
Yeah, the teardrop, that will actually be the interior of the bathroom wall then. I'm just going to leave that teardrop. I think that's what they call it.
Teardrop siding.
Is it? It's teardrop? Mm-hmm. I'm going to actually just leave that exposed on the interior of the bathroom. And,
but that exterior siding already on that section looks like that's different than the board and batten that appears on the other part of the front. So I'm assuming either it was an addition later to the original structure?
You know, I think most of those buildings up there started out as 12 by 12s, and each addition, you know, has something different on it.
Of course. Okay, just wanted to clarify. Commissioner Conklin, did you have any?
I didn't have any further questions. I guess everybody has their particulars and mine aside.
Are there any other questions or comments for the applicant?
I like it.
Thank you.
Another building saved.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I had. I've had multiple people told me to tear it down, and I kept saying, but no, that's illegal.
We wish. Well, then, if there aren't any other comments or questions for the applicant, I'd like to move that the application, DRB application 18-33, be approved as proposed. Is there a second?
Second that motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? No? Thank you for saving an old Bisbee building.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to DRB application 18-34. This is in the historic district, contributing property number 568. This is 317 Oak Avenue. The application is seeking approval to construct a pergola on one half of the rear upper deck, and the applicant is Carrie Gustafson. And if Carrie is here, Ms. Gustafson, it's your moment on the stage.
Okay, my name is Carrie Gustafson. I live at 317 Oak. We just want to put a 12 by 12 shade on the back of the deck, on the back of the house. Any questions?
Commission members, are there any questions about the proposal or comments for the applicant?
I'm a fan of it.
Thank you, Commissioner Skye. Doesn't look like there's any significant questions or concerns.
Pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I move to approve DRB 1834 as submitted.
Is there a second?
I second the motion.
Thank you. 2 seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No? Good luck with your pergola.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice application. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to application number 3. It's DRB application 18-35. This is 930 Sims Road. Uncertain property status, so it indicates. This is an application seeking approval to restore the enclosed porch to a period porch. The door removed from the front of the house will be replaced with a multi-pane door, and all exterior windows will be replaced with new vinyl-clad double single-hung windows, and the applicant's Nanette Slusser. And I don't think you're Nanette, but I think you're the other Slusser. So if you would come up, identify yourself, and give us just a brief overview.
I'm Tom Slusser, owner of 9030 Sims Road. And just like you said, I'm trying to restore it to what it was before. And if we decide to just permission to demolish the shed, if we decide to do that, and there was some confusion with It's not this, the actual newer shed. It's not the building that's from the early 1900s that's also on the same property line, or same property. And the new windows. One thing we didn't put in there, but I'd like to add if possible, is just exterior lighting.
Thank you. Commission members, any questions for Mr. Slusser?
What kind of siding does this have? Is it, it looks almost asbestos looking.
It is.
It is, though. So when you tear it off, what will happen behind where the porch was before? I mean, where you're taking it off with the enclosed porch, and then what material is going to be used behind on the building, on the porch?
Well, hopefully we're just going to take it down to, I'm thinking the asbestos tile has been there for, it's just like a covering on there since it's been enclosed. Yep. So I won't know until I start taking it off. I'm hoping that.
But all this goes away, right? And you're coming back and creating a porch.
Correct.
So what's on the wall? I couldn't get inside.
Oh, what's on the wall on the inside?
Yeah, so what it's we like will paneling. Now see. From
it's
the,
like paneling.
It's a. So what do you plan on putting there? Just
on the inside of the house?
Yeah. No. What,
oh,
once
I'm
this,
sorry.
Once
oh,
this,
the, I'm confused with what you're asking.
Okay, I know. I'm not being very clear. So when you take the front out and open it up and turn it back into a porch, then you have a new exterior wall on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
So what is that going to be covered with, since you aren't going to be able to use asbestos tiles?
Gotcha. That is, good question. I think it's like a 1x8, like a shiplap type wood siding.
Is it there now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what I couldn't get in the house. I didn't want to get in the house, so I didn't see what was inside the porch, what's going to become the porch. So I was wondering what they've done. They probably covered all that original shiplap with this asbestos stuff.
Yes.
Down there. So I was wondering if that's what was inside. That'd be great. If you can restore it to what it was there, then it is what it is. So, okay. Thank you.
So, Commissioner Budge, you got your question answered about the interior siding. Other questions or comments for the applicant?
Yeah, that's fine.
We got there eventually. Any other questions for the applicant?
I don't have any.
No?
Nope.
Do we have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve application 1835 as is.
I'll second that.
And that's with amendments?
With
The clarification of removing the shed, the exterior lighting that you presented to us tonight?
Yeah, with the removal of the shed in this picture, the white shed.
Yes.
And the photos that you issued with us tonight.
Thank you. Is there a second for that?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Sky. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No? Thank you, Mr. Slusser. All right, moving along to DRB application number 4, 18-37. This is in the Bisbee Commercial District. This is 25 Main Street, and the applicant is seeking approval to remove rotten plywood from the rear on Subway Street of the building and infill the opening with stucco-coated concrete blocks, replace existing rotten windows. The applicant is Al Anderson. So Mr. Anderson, if you would just give us a brief overview.
First of all, I'd like to, my wife is passing out.
Thank
I'm
you.
Not sure what page it is, but it's the proposed application I'm going to do. Would you rip that out? The colored one that she just passed out, substitute the one for one.
So just for the record, you're asking us to replace the original application, the picture you'd provided with what you provided us tonight. So we'll make sure the applicant packet is updated as well, just for the record.
And you can compare the two. Really, the only difference between the two is that what was submitted was a window and then a screen, security screen, the same size as a window. And then I discovered, oh, I'm not going to make that. I need to make the security screen the size of the opening instead of just the window. So anyway, the back of the building used to have a door and a window, and that's all, it was plywood and it's all rotten. and I'm doing electrical upgrade, so I've got to replace that backing to put the new electrical panel on. The windows were all shot. Basically, the back part of the building was full of termites, and so I had to remove about 3,000 or 4,000 pounds of lumber out of the building. And so we're going to put in new windows, three new windows on the top. There was a window in that plywood area where the electric panel is going to go and is now, but we're going to put in a new window just to the left of between the electric panel and the rear door. And we're going to fill in that whole space with cement block, 8/8 16s, and then we'll do a stucco wash over it to where we don't see the grout lines, the block at all. And then we'll probably do like the adjacent building to the left. They put a cement wash and they kind of patched up some of the holes and stuff. I don't know. It really doesn't matter to me. I'll defer to your decision and whether you think that's necessary or you'd rather see the old pieces of concrete falling off and looking deteriorated. That's it in a nutshell.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Commission members, were there questions or comments for the applicant?
So is this that this is a rear access to a commercial property, is it?
It is not a public access. It's just a service entrance.
It's a service entrance?
Yes.
Well, I think what you're proposing is a lot better than what's existing.
Oh, thanks.
So I don't have any problem with this.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Budge?
One question I had was, because I didn't see a material list here, what was the windows? You're doing four new windows. What were you planning on using for those four windows? Because ones that are in there are just a single hung. Don't they just, aren't they like
they hung? Were homemade they were homemade panes of window in a frame with a homemade hinge that was kind of an awning
right, kind of like what you'd see above a doorway, that an awning window that opens inward, tilts
well,
inward,
it opened,
or down, I mean, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, it opened down from the top.
Right.
And it was just held by chains.
So what I see here is sliders.
Yes.
And that's not something that we usually approve. We don't like the sliding, breaks up the whole idea of the historic. Those were never around back in the day.
Well, my wife and I were just studying the what's published as far as what what's the recommendations for the design review board, and it doesn't preclude sliders.
And if you could just come up here for the record.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can't get caught on the microphone.
The guidelines do not preclude sliders. They preclude aluminum sliders. But aluminum frames are still allowed so long as they're not shiny aluminum. Or they have to be either anodized or painted.
If you look at pages, I think it's mentioned on page 17 and 19. 18? I thought it was 19.
And you're referencing the design review guideline booklet.
The guidelines. It's a PDF on the website. Find it.
Right. It's right here.
Yeah.
It is specifically aluminum sliders that are prohibited.
But these will not be aluminum.
But
they'll be vinyl.
Yeah.
Back when this was made, there was no vinyl sliders. All there was aluminum, and that's
yeah.
why they were named. Sliders was the main word that was used here. It wasn't the aluminum that's disallowed. We've never allowed sliders, period. That was in my history of 14 years on this, sliders have always just been disallowed.
With all due respect, I just wanted to say that the written material that's offered in the guidelines, and I'm not talking about the diagrams, but the regarding window treatments, it's talking about, you know, painting over aluminum or anodizing aluminum. And so, you know, really aluminum is the buzzword as opposed to sliders. And the thing is about these windows, they're wide and squat, and the dark-colored security apparatus he wants over it will make them less visible anyway.
That black and white photo that you see that we passed out, it kind of shows from you can hardly even see the windows.
You're absolutely right. When I was there, those horrible ugly screens, which are security screens, do pretty well block out the window.
Yeah.
Here's my situation. Is my situation, if I approve sliders for you, then the next person's going to, well, look, those sliders were put in such and such, and then, but I'm not putting security screens over them, so why can't I get, see, it isn't the security screen that matters. It is the matter of sliders, to be quite honest. And remember, these are only guidelines. These are not rules and regulations. These
sure.
are what we use as a guideline.
Sure.
And what my history tells me, the guidelines have always been sliders, whether aluminum or vinyl. We have never approved vinyl sliders in any home in Old Bisbee that I can remember. I don't know if I never have. And
I think we may have approved some that were not facing, that were in residences, not facing a street.
Yep.
So if it wasn't visible to...
It actually happened in my house, and it was approved when you were on the floor, and they were on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in the back. This is a pallet.
Well, the other thing with sliders, yeah. Ken, is that that what the guidelines really push, guide people towards is a window that is more portrait than landscape. And sliders actually do that for you.
It's just you're narrowing the window up and putting a little slider in there, which is...
Yeah.
And
I'm super protective of our downtown commercial district. I mean, I know this is an alley, but now I see that alley being used for events. They close it down. It's becoming almost a good thing. And you know, as much as I hate to see all those little permapacks mounted on the thing, but it is an alley. I understand that, and I can give up.
It's residential also. People live on Subway.
Well, sure, right on the other side.
Yeah, there's a house right across.
We all live.
So it is visible where people will see that.
Right.
The back
but
of the building.
It's all. I don't know if there's any other window that would work. You want to be able to open them so there's airflow through there.
Yeah, like the ventilate
yeah.
the building.
Okay. I mean, I'm kind of the old school, like from Central School, and Jeff Shriver would actually rebuild a wooden window so it would actually fall open. When I did my windows, I actually pulled all the old original wavy glass out and they rebuilt those same awning type or...
You know, if we hadn't, we've taken the swamp cooler off when we put an air conditioning unit on there. So to conserve energy, we really do need dual pane. So using old windows, well, there's no old windows in this building.
Right.
So
okay. Well, I've had my little say, but that's just
okay.
That's just where I am.
Thank
Thanks.
You, Commissioner Budge. Were there other comments or questions for the applicants?
I definitely think taking the door out is a mistake. I mean, just the aesthetics of it alone. I think that, you know, even if you wanted to block off that access, it would be nice to hang doors in front of it so it still had that look. That was my own personal, you know, what I thought of it. As far as the windows, I didn't really care. I just assumed that you couldn't use sliders because that was always what I understood. But I just could say what I would like to see happen is that still the door look is there.
And you're referencing the barn door style
yeah,
that's
door.
There.
You know, maybe some nice new doors from Mexico or something like that. And I know that you're worried about getting broken into or something, but just for the pure aesthetics of it, that would be my recommendation on it. Other than that, I mean, the screens, they're there, so what can you say about that?
Mm-hmm.
And but it just the doors, I'd hate to see that look go away. And if we could start getting the back of that street beautified too, that would be cool. I know right now it just sits as an ugly alley, but it doesn't have to be so. So
I was just on the alley and with our grandson and taking pictures of the alley because it is a pretty alley.
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential there.
And I think, you know, with that nice rough house, it's right across the street from where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, taking into consideration that they are looking at that. And if you would be happy to look at it, what you're proposing, then, you know, but I think it looks better with the doors. That's just my opinion.
Well, as far as the history on it, those barn doors have been broken into numerous times, and the last time it was broken into, and I had, they were half hanging off the building, I had to put them back on, I put foam in there, and the foam has been a deterrent, because people think that, okay, well, this is really glued shut well. In the past, when they ripped it open to try to get in the building, they've only found that there's a big security gate there that they couldn't get through, so they just did a lot of damage for nothing. And so, but again, we're going to air conditioning as far as swamp cooling, so there's no way to insulate that opening, unless it go. But what we were talking about today is, after we fill it in with block and then do the washer, we don't see the block grout lines, I would be amenable to put that, to bolt those doors to the block. I think it is a nice little touch.
I agree.
So that would address your concern, Commissioner Crowe, that they, and as well as providing them the security that they were trying to accomplish as well with this?
Yes. And the other thing that, and this is totally you, but I know that Soap and Sundries is moving in there, and he's got to move 55-gallon barrels in there, so, and this is kind of off topic, but it makes more sense to have doors there anyways, because those things are not easy to move in and out. But that's not my business. I heard about that.
So let's keep to business then, Commissioner Skye.
Okay,
thank
well,
you.
I'm done. Thank you.
So this is the back of the Beleza gallery, correct?
No.
This is not Country
next,
it was
next door.
Leela's cache. She didn't have a sign in front.
She okay. didn't have a sign in front, but it was like a thrift store type place. Mm-hmm.
So is there a question coming there?
Country store?
No, I don't think so.
Microphone.
I'm sorry, this was never the country store?
I
could have sworn, because they had a lot of problems getting broken into as well.
We've owned it for maybe 13, 14 years, and we don't know what it was before. It was the copper shop before that. I don't know.
Okay. All right, that's it for me.
Thank you, Commissioner Skye. Other questions? Or comments about the applicant, about the application?
No.
No? Okay, thank you for being agreeable to making an adjustment with the barn doors, or at least the aesthetic is addressed. And again, to clarify, we have on an exception basis approved slider windows, but generally when they're not visible to the public, and that's primarily been in residential structures versus a commercial structure. This is just at the end of the sort of commercial strip of Subway, and then you have the stone house across from you, and then a parking lot, I believe, right after that, across on that side of Subway Street. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a motion with any possible amendments that anyone would want to make at this point? No? Well, I'm going to one run up the flagpole, and I guess you can decide at least by vote what we want to do. I'd like to propose approving application 18-37 with the adjustment that the barn doors would be maintained but affixed to a permanent concrete block for security purposes, but otherwise the application be approved as submitted. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a second, so there's a vote in favor. Please raise your hand just so it's clear, since there's some questions or concerns. Those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay, those opposed?
Nay.
Okay, three opposed. Okay, the application has not been approved.
I'd like to make a second motion.
Go right ahead.
That everything that you agree to with using the doors versus the putting the doors back up, you know, to me it is a little bit faux, which I don't like, but I can't vote yay because of the aluminum, and I've read this, and what it says is aluminum double hungs will not be allowed. It doesn't say anything about sliders in here at all. If you read this, in the guidelines, it says aluminum double hung windows may be used in place of wood if they're not anodized and so on. It talks about double hung. And so I'm just saying, when you say the aluminum is the important part, it is truly They just said aluminum and sliders. Sliders are not something we normally do, and I protect commercial buildings, and I think you can get, you could get awning windows that open up if you needed to open them, that are, that are...
Those are not allowed.
We do now allow awnings. We have, these are old rules, but we have now decided above certain situations where those windows are long and narrow like that, we have them all over town, and we've been improving them for quite some time in special circumstances, like above kitchens and bathrooms where you can't have a double hung in front of a sink or something. So awnings are much more allowable than a single pane awning that will open is much more allowed, you know, we now allow. I feel sorry that these are a little, we're going to start tackling updating these a bit. But
yeah, please do.
I know, but yeah, you're perfectly, I know, everybody uses those, and I feel sorry that we're not right up to speed. But I would make the motion that I'd approve it if you could find some different type of window, even though they have the same covers over them and with the same representation of cleaning up the back door and putting those on for aesthetics.
So is that a motion?
Yes.
Commissioner Budge?
I'm sorry, I made a motion, yes.
Okay, is there a second?
No, you have a question first.
Well, I do. How about a single hung window instead of a slider?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we can get them that narrow where, yeah, single hung or double hung, doesn't matter, double or single, we use, they look the same.
It's the same line in the middle.
Right.
I would just, as a point of clarification, remind the commission that part of the reason the awning window proposal came forward was a concern previously from our building inspector of extremely small singular double hung windows that did not look historic at all in nature, given the scale and the small size of windows. Mm-hmm. We had a building on Upper Tombstone where that was the case, as the former city inspector Ward remembers all too well. That was a double or single hung window technically, but in context of the building, made no sense. So that's where the awning window proposal came from, was to move away from these extremely small single or double hung windows that would not ever have existed back in the day. So they're not historically appropriate. My other question is also just about, in relation to the proposal, if you have an awning window, it's going to open out when it's opened, yes?
No.
No, so you can get your awning window to open in so your security screen is not impacted?
Or you can get anything, you get whatever you want.
Okay.
The thing is, since they're using air conditioning, they probably won't want to open them much anyway.
Well, we're hoping most of the year that just natural circulation.
Right.
And
I noticed you have some kind of a loft thing that goes up, which has another cage over it, but do you have air that, in the back building, there's an upper story and it has like a skylight. Is that a vented skylight?
The skylight.
Oh, the mezzanine is where these three windows are.
Right.
The mezzanine.
Right.
And then the new window would be on the
But does,
the,
does that have
a... Above that, there's a skylight,
we
had to put a security thing on that skylight because
they tried
to break into.
That's how they got into the jewelry store. But does that vented? Does that allow heat out or not?
It's operable.
Okay, well that's cool too because that will help with the ventilation also. Okay, I looked in there but I couldn't really see what was going on up above.
Yeah, there's two dark house skylights in the building.
Cool.
Then I have a question. Earlier today looking. Do you know what the space is in between the concrete where the windows were, the measurements there?
What?
Of the concrete to concrete, the window frame as it is now? How much space you have for a window in this upper?
Both of those buildings, that one and the one just to the east of it, are just a little bit unusual because most windows, historic windows, are more portrait than landscape. These are landscape, so the openings are landscape, but they're a little over I think they're 28 by 30, something like that. But by the time we have to put in a lintel and put in some block, the window that's shown works out the best. So it's about a 2020.
So how big is the window going to be?
20 by 20?
24.
2 foot by 2 foot. Okay.
The reason I say this is if you look at your neighbor's window right there, it's a four-pane little window. That's the original window right there.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's traditional. We can't stay everything traditional. We have to move into the 21st century and double pane, I understand. But if we can get just a plane of glass instead of a line in the middle, then that's why I'm making a motion that if you could do that for me, I would vote yay, and that's my motion.
Maybe just for clarity, for if your questions have been answered, and unless you've got questions for Commissioner Budge.
Well, I'm just trying to, so let me repeat my question. You're okay with a single hung window?
Yes.
Okay.
If it runs vertically, I mean, not vertically, but horizontally, or an awning that's just a pure plane of glass, then that would be fine.
No, I'd be okay with a single hung. Okay. It's not my preference, but.
I know.
So, Commissioner Budge, maybe could you just restate your motion?
Move to approve BRB 1837 with the condition that the windows will be either single hung or awning type, and that the wood doors that are there will be reapplied as best as possible to give it the same look.
Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Thank you for your reasonableness and being flexible.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate all your all the time that you all devote to this effort.
Thank you.
No, it's really appreciated. We need to keep Bisbee looking like Bisbee looks. We don't want it to look like Disneyland or something.
No, we don't. Let Disneyland look like Disneyland. We're on to item number 5, staff comments and administrative approval report. And there is a DRB application 1826. Also an update on DRB application 18-24. Mr. Ward, if you would give us that update, as I understand you're going to give.
Yeah. What's going on up at 429D?
You want to do B first, and then we'll do A?
Yep, 429D on Laundry Hill. Mm-hmm. Is that the walls, upon examination, the walls were not capable of holding up a second floor, let alone a single floor. It's built worse than your pre-76 trailers were. I guess they were called mobile homes. Huh? Anyway, but it was incapable of holding it. It didn't meet code. It had to be changed. So once the walls were off, then he's looking at the foundation, starts hitting it with a hammer. It's unreinforced, and it's what we call cowboy concrete around Bisbee. And you could hit it, and it was knocking off pieces. Mm. And it's clearly unsafe to carry any load. And it's negligent on the part of the city to allow that to remain. I told him that they had to be it had to be replaced, and so that left very little, nothing actually, of the original house. But it still is a renovation. It is not a demolition. A demolition by a demolition shall mean the destruction of the building by the zoning code definitions, where your the regulations of the design review board come from. So it's not a demolition, doesn't require a demolition permit. We don't issue demolition permits for rebuilding buildings and that kind of thing. He still is under the obligation of doing what you guys gave him to do as far as the exterior, making it look like that. But because of codes, he had to do away with those things.
Okay, thank you.
And there was valid reasons for that. And I do believe that this meets the letter, the spirit, and the intent of our codes.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ward. And then regarding DRB application 18-26, I think this was an administrative approval.
You guys have that on hand, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was an administrative approval for those signs in the windows. I think it's kind of self-explanatory.
Any questions for Mr. Ward? Someone from the public, Mr. Slessor, if you'd like to come up here.
So, is this open forum? Can I talk to Joel and ask questions? I don't know.
It is on the agenda.
So it's been noticed.
If it pertains to one of the items on the agenda.
Yes. Joel, I was just wondering if you could explain to me, I'm not quite getting, if it's all taken down, what's the difference between a demolition and not a demolition? I'm not understanding the difference on this.
It's taken down right now, but it's not going to remain down, so it's not a demolition.
Okay.
It's a renovation. See, the renovation has a, it includes rebuilding.
Okay, so if I go for a demolition permit and I have drawings set to put a house back on there, then that's not demolition, so I don't need a demolition permit?
It has to be the same footprint.
It'd be the same footprint. What the board approved is the outside of that house, and that's what he's stuck with, that he has to meet what they approved. The intent was not to demolish the house at the time, but that is the reality of the site conditions today.
Okay. So in theory then, correct me if I'm wrong, if Britt Hansen did the same footprint, he could renovate that house by demolishing it and then building it back up. Is that correct?
You're referring to the 16 Clausen property?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you put it back on the same basic footprint, foundation and so on, and just remodeled it, and maybe exchanged exterior walls.
The design? I'd have no problem with that, if he had to take it down.
So if you take a picture of it,
he had to take this down as a condition of the building codes. You do understand that, right?
All right. I didn't think that maybe was clarified to him at that time. It was kind of like you can't tear it down. So I would like to recommend to the board, I don't know if, but anytime there's a demolition permit, I think Joel or whoever's in Joel's position in the future should have some input into this, depending on the what the structure looks like. He's the expert. He's has seen more things that, I mean, he can require somebody to demolish something because of safety concerns. So I just think that in the future that if somebody comes with a demolition permit, he should be someone that at least has a voice and says, go along with this, or I see it as a potential that this could be rebuilt easily without demolition.
Well, I guess I would just let you know that in the current process, thank you for your feedback, in the current process, the building inspector has had that opportunity to provide an assessment and a recommendation for a demolition application. So that already is in place, and Mr. Ward, in his prior role as city building inspector, regularly when we had demolition applications, made his recommendation for or against a demolition. I think the concerns that you raised here, though, have to do with a more nuanced issue, which is the interior of a structure or a structure that's not clear if it can be renovated until the actual work begins. And I think that's where maybe the questions or concerns have come up in the public for myself and others, is it wasn't clear at the beginning that this was going to result in essentially the entire structure having to be demolished. That wasn't the intention of the applicant initially, and it wasn't the assessment of the building inspector as well when the application was initially presented. But once the work began, because the work in this case was extensive, it was not just rebuilding the footprint, it was expanding some of the footprint on the first floor. There are other issues that came up as that process unfolded, and it's only then that it became clear that this portion of the original structure was also going to have to be removed. So it's a different process, and I'm not trying to split hairs because I hear your concern, but it was a different process than someone applying up front for demolition, in which case the building inspector would give a recommendation to us and an assessment.
I understand that completely, and I'm not disputing what happened just recently. I just don't remember Joel having input on Britt's house.
I wasn't here. I was out on medical leave.
You did on mine, on the one I did.
Okay.
he actually said he condemned it.
Thank you, Mr. Schlesser. So any other comments or feedback from Mr. Ward?
Not at all.
I also want to point out that really it's not like I gave Mr. Sky anything. He got the booby prize because it cost him a lot more money than he anticipated. He didn't gain anything. That's actually.
Oh, sure. I'm sure for him this has been a frustrating process, just as a contractor trying to build.
And he stands up in front of everybody and says he wants to preserve every house, and then he winds up looking less than he would probably like, because of that, and he didn't choose that either.
One thought I do have, though, for future reference, because I'm sure this won't be the only time this comes up, given the age of structures and the buildings that remain to be worked on in Old Bisbee, which are only becoming more infirm the longer they go without any work, is that this may come up again, where someone with good intention attempts to renovate an old structure, is unable to once the unlayering occurs. And my recommendation would be, just for the time I've served on the DRB and also as a community member, given that these usually bring concerns with them from community residents who live around the property, and I think the question that a member of the public, Mr. Schlesser, also addressed is, it can seem like a splitting hairs determination. So I think any timely notification, whether it's to residents or at least to the DRB, I think would be appropriate. And I understand we generally meet once a month. So I think in a case like this, at least a notification to the DRB before our next meeting, once the assessment's made, would at least put us in a position of being informed, right, in a current way. So to the extent to which members of the public would contact us and say, as Mr. Schlesser did, well, how is what looks to me to be a demolition, not a demolition, we're in a better position to respond.
Right.
In an informed way.
I think that's reasonable.
I don't know if I need to walk around there.
Well, if you're going to be speaking as a commission member, you can speak here. If you're going to be speaking as the applicant of that property, then you should remove yourself from here and speak over there. Anyway, that would be my two cents for just a way that the commission can be informed in as timely a way as possible, so we can also, as members of the public, volunteering to represent the public, be able to speak to this as people approach us.
All right. My name is John Skye, and I'm the owner of 429D Laundry Hill. I'd like to clarify the situation by letting everyone know exactly what happened step by step, because it seems a little black and white right now, but that's not exactly how it was. I initially got the permission from the DRB committee to take the roof off, and because I was obviously going to change that and build the back addition. I was planning originally to encase the house, so we had taken the roof off piece by piece. Then we found about 100 pounds of cat feces and urine and stuff like that. So I actually cleaned all that out because I was still planning on saving the structure at that point. So I cleaned out all that, took the roof off, took the roof joists off, which left the siding and the inside of the house that was like 1 by 8 pieces of board that were the walls, and then there's some had sheetrock over it, so on and so forth. I then discussed thoroughly about just sheeting over the siding and then Tyvek-ing it, and then trying to still salvage the existing structure. We then decided that it would be a better idea to pull the siding, look at what was underneath. Prior to that, the floor had already been cut a huge chunk out. They cut the joists out. They put a raised stage on there, so that wasn't sturdy. So I was already planning on redoing the floor as it was, because I was inside. That wasn't anything that the DRB needed to approve. Then, let's get back to the siding. Took the siding off. Then we realized that there was nothing but 2x2 construction. For some reason, I was thinking there would be a true 2x4 construction, which is solid. You can nail to it. You can shore it up. You can do many things to salvage that. With rotten 2x2 construction, you can't do anything with it because it's not thick enough to put insulation. You can't bring it back up to code. And this is what I learned. And what they had done prior, because the roof was so bad, was they had hung plastic on the inside of the house, so it was catching the water and running the water down into the walls. Well, we didn't really realize what kind of damage had happened in those walls because you couldn't see it. It was all covered up. So you have 2x2 construction that's had water running down it for 20, 30 years, I don't know. So I discussed putting, actually trying to nail new 2x4s to the 2x2 construction, then quickly realized that putting a nail gun to the old 2x2s just made them explode. So then we came to the fact that the walls need to be dismantled and rebuilt back to code to make it safe at all. And then at that point, I determined that the floor was already, well, I had already decided that the floor had to be taken up and rebuilt. So then we got to the point of what are we saving? Because as Mr. Ward said earlier, you can literally grab a chunk of the foundation with your hand and crumble it in your hand. And then you could kick big pieces and it'd break right off. So essentially what you had was there were 3 4x6s on the old concrete. So I still have those and I plan on reintegrating them. I'm not changing the footprint, as it were. It's going to be the same width, height, the first floor, and everything. So basically what I'm doing is I'm just doing a full remodel of the existing structure and then adding onto it so I can bring it up to code and make it safe. And I just want to clarify that, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Sky. Commissioner Buds, did you have something you wanted to say?
Point of order, Chairman. I'm starting to get really uncomfortable because what's on the agenda here is a report from this. What we're agendized is an update from our building inspector. So we're getting really deep in the weeds about the whole discussion, and it was not agendized that way. And so I think we're getting outside the open meeting law, and I would think this should be about the end of it. That would be my
opinion. Well, I see Mr. Sky walking away from the microphone, so it looks like he's said what he wanted to say to expand upon what Mr. Ward presented. Thank you, Mr. Sky. Item number 6, I think I'd asked that this be on the agenda, but in the interest of time and just practicality, I think it's been addressed by Mr. Ward as well as by others here. So unless someone else has something they want to speak to on item number 6, I would say we move on to future agenda items.
My only suggestion is that I know this is a big project and it might take all winter, and that's maybe where we ought to start looking at. This is a guideline, and I realize, and attorneys have a tendency to get into the weeds and say aluminum was the main thing and whatever. I only can give my opinion and what it was, but we need to kind of maybe bring this up. There was never really vinyl windows back when, so maybe my suggestion would be to revisit some of these. Reprinting one is not practical, we don't have the money, but maybe we could make some revisions somehow. I'm going to look into that, just so that I think we need to update our guidelines just a little bit. It's not going to be a lot.
You do?
Yeah, because I got caught on it tonight.
Okay, I seem to have a memory of us talking about this some months ago, and
I know.
You're advocating the opposite point, so I'm glad to see you've come around to my point of view,
well,
Commissioner Budge.
Yeah, and one other point, I was just going to let everybody know that I'll be traveling the next 2 months, so I'll be out of town on July and August's meeting, so hopefully that doesn't affect the
thank
board.
You, Commissioner
okay.
Budge. Commissioner Green?
Okay, thank you. Yes, the word is guidelines, and that is a book of guidelines which is overseen by us, the Design Review Board, and we can choose to vote for some guidelines and not others, because that's what they are. And I think as long as we are sensible about what we approve, when we approve, and what we disapprove and when we disapprove, so that everybody understands why we've done it historically and doing it now, there should be no problem at all. It's when we take the letter of the word in the guidelines, which aren't enforceable, because that's what they are, guidelines. Mm-hmm. So let's be more cohesive on what we're actually approving and disapproving, and we won't have these misunderstandings.
Thank you, Commissioner Green. Mr. Ward.
You know, I would recommend if you guys want to change some of those things, that we put it into like we did, like you did with the putting stucco on over the top of siding and that, and we turned it into a solid policy, and it's written down in the city's in policy book. So, it, and that would precede the guidelines and give you guys, give them something solid that we can fall back on when you have an attorney up there and such.
But
it's just an idea.
Mm-hmm.
My thing was just to update, we'd just make an addition to the, an add-on as of this date. Instead of trying to rewrite this whole book, say, you know, see addendum such and such, that's, to me, would be the easy way to, we just go through and we say, okay, addendum that sliding aluminum and vinyl windows are not an approval, if that's what we come up with. You see what, and just addendum, not try to rewrite it, because that would just be a long.
It would be a chore, but I hear, yeah. Mr. Ward's also point, which is if there's something that's coming up repeatedly or we can expect will be coming up, then that may be something we want to kind of push to the front and move towards the city council to actually adopt, so it's in the zoning code, not so it's simply in the guidelines, but has right. The force of law if we're that concerned about
that's
preventing
what,
it.
That's what I did years ago about painting over brick,
mm-hmm.
and go signs.
Yes.
That's now part of the ordinance.
But ultimately it's our discretion as far as what we're going to.
I thought I was loud enough. I'm sorry. I'm talking
well.
Comfortably. I'm sorry. But
that's all right.
I just, ultimately, it's our discretion on what we're going to approve or disapprove.
Unless it's an ordinance. Because an ordinance, we can't really override an ordinance.
Right, that's what the siding is stuck on.
Yeah.
Or a policy.
And I wasn't aware of that. I'm learning every day. When we do amend this book, could I get one? Because I still haven't gotten a book. I don't know how many of them are out there.
They're pretty rare.
Yeah, so.
I think the online version is the closest at this point you're going to get, unless one of us bequeaths you one.
Yeah, you can print it up.
I was promised one out of Joel Ward's office, but that no longer
exists. Up in Smoke, remember that movie?
There's this big, huge flame.
That seems less likely at this point in time.
I don't care. I would like one just so for my education, honestly. And I'm 100% for amending some of these rulings and stuff like that, because that way we have a little bit more fighting.
I'll show you after the meeting. I'll show you where it's at on the website.
Well, I would ask that any new member or any member that wants one, you could go to the city clerk and ask her to please print one out and bind it in a little binder. Costs $2, and then you could give it to any one of our members. I don't think we provide it to the public necessarily, but I think that would be
I think it'd be appropriate.
Okay.
As far as the amending, we have to put that on a future agenda so that we could have a meeting, or is that
to look at these rules? Yeah.
No, to amend them is what I'm saying.
We could. There's a few different options. We could put it on a future agenda to discuss and go through, and we've done that in certain portions before.
I think that's a great idea.
Or if we decide or think that it may be a much more comprehensive act that we're going to do, we might form a subcommittee and identify one, two, or three people to work on some specific issues to then present to the overall commission. And that's just being more time sensitive, right? So that if something needs a good deal of research and works, some commission members can do that with our approval and then bring back recommendations. And Commissioner Budge has done that for us more recently as an example, so that we get good, solid, thoughtful proposal with research, right? But we don't have a 5-hour D or B meeting to accomplish it.
I agree, and I'm not, when I say this term, I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but I look at you guys as like the elders, as far as the...
We are mostly older than you.
But I don't mean that to be age sensitive, but you know, your guys' information is probably gonna be, you know, you're gonna have a better understanding of the code and all than I would, because I haven't been here, you know, that long. So I definitely would like to be included on maybe some of the thought process that would go behind what you guys were doing. And that's kind of where I'm at on it.
Okay, thanks, Commissioner Conklin. Going over agenda items. So I'd say we'll have another meeting and we'll have an opportunity.
Talk to us afterwards.
Are there any other proposals for future agenda items? No?
I move we adjourn.
Do we have a second?
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Adjourned.
Hey, Tom.
Had a good trip.
I will. Italy. No, I'm the liaison to this and to inspire things tonight.
Coming home for 10 days in July. Heading back with my grandson.